The glories of the trees of Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan Mahimamrita by Sri Prabhudananda Saraswati. This is chapter 10, verse, quite a few verses, 77 through 83. These are descriptions of the trees, and several verses describing. We heard about the glories of the leaves, or one leaf of Vrindavan. We were mentioning about leaf yesterday, and something came to mind, and I wanted to, as further glorification of the leaves of Vrindavan. And I wanted to remind everyone of that. There's one very popular song a few years ago about every leaf. It's just describing the glories of Vrindavan, the glories of Radharani, and the glories of even one leaf of Vrindavan. Vraja ki lata pata bi bole, Shri Radha Radha. Vraja ki lata pata, lata pata. So vraja ki lata pata, pata means leaf, and lata means creeper. So the song is saying that every leaf, every single pata, every single leaf of every creeper in Vrindavan is chanting, Shri Radha Radha, Shri Radha Radha. So this is further glories of one leaf. Put your ear to a leaf and listen. Find one creeper in Vrindavan, put your ear to the leaf and listen. And you have to confirm this because the song is saying, every leaf is chanting Shri Radha. So we're empirical. We're reasonable, logical people, so we should go check that out. Have you ever done it? Take your stethoscope and check. You may find they're chanting Shri Radha Radha, Shri Radha. Hamara dana radha shiradha shirada hamara dana radha shirada shirada radha 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 kechit piyusha saruttama parinatya kechana shira sarer divye saniramita kipi yatila mada kritam asananam ganaga Kechit Shaitopalas Kepi Yati Hima Karaka Kalpa Rupa Iti Shri Brinda Ranya Dhrumendra Dharati Bahuvira Radhika Krishna Tushyati. The transcendental trees of Vrindavan manifest various forms for the full satisfaction of Radha and Krishna. Some of the trees are the limit of transcendental nectar. Priyusha Sarutam. Some of them are made of transcendental essence of milk, Kheer Sara. Some of them are made of transcendental essence of milk. Some of them are made of incomparable intoxicating nectar, Atula Mada Kritam Asavanam. And some of them are just like crystal. Like crystal. Ganagana. Ganagana Kesha Shaitopala. And some of them are as white as kaffir. Oh, amazing. Himakaraka. Hima is snow. Himakaraka Kalpa Ruba. It's interesting. The trees, so first the author is saying the trees can take any form. Various forms to please Radha and Krishna. So sometimes the trees appear as nectar or kheer, the essence of milk, or they appear as wine, they appear as crystal, they appear as white as camphor. Interesting translation. Let's see what this one says over here. For the pleasure of Radha and Krishna, the regal trees of Vrindavan assume many different forms. Some assume forms of the sweetest nectar, Others take the forms of splendid transcendental milk and cream. Others take the forms of intoxicating liquors. Others take the forms of crystals and other forms of very, another take the forms of very cooling camphor. That's something to be seen, I guess. I can't really comment on that other than consciousness can assume many forms. In other words, we hear about Sridham. Sridham assumes, Sridham is a coward boy, and he has a human-like form of a young boy. But in Garuda Govinda, there's a pastime place called Garuda Govinda. When Krishna went there with the coward boys, then the coward boys were saying, "We heard from Bhagwari Rishi that you are, you're also Vishnu. And we know that Vishnu flies on Garuda. We heard that from the Acharyas, that Vishnu flies on Garuda. So we want to know." And Karabai said, "So if you're Vishnu, then can you show us that Vishnu?" And then Krishna glanced at Sridham from the corner of his eye, Krishna Kripa Kataksha. And then Sridham glanced back in affirmative yes. And Krishna looked at Sridham and said, "All right." Then he turned to the boys, "Yeah, of course. I'm also Vishnu. And you see Sridham, he's Garuda." So Sridham immediately turned into Garuda. He changed his form from a coward boy to an eagle, to Garuda, a bird, Pakshi, Pakhi, Pakshi. Then Krishna stood on his back and they flew all around in the air and up and around and here and there and everywhere. And the boys were saying, "Wow, wow, amazing, sadhu, sadhuati, sadhuati, sadhuati." Then they made a temple there and they have a deity of Krishna standing on Garuda and beautiful, very old temple, very old place of pilgrimage, Garuda Govinda Mandir. So this is the an example of a devotee who is generally exhibiting one form for the seva of Krishna, but per the need of the pastime and per the request of the Lord or the happiness of Radha Krishna, they can change or assume different forms. Brindadevi is a Sakhi, and she is a beautiful lady's form. She's Kayavyu of Radharani, expansion of Radharani. But then to serve Krishna, she becomes a tree, Tulsi tree. She has another form, a completely different form. It's the same Brindadevi, but she has a form. Once they ask the question, if wherever Tulsi is that a different jiva? And Prabhupada said, no, it's one Tulsi everywhere. Wherever Tulsi is, there's a one Tulsi. It's like her unlimited manifestations. So this is her, like this, they take different forms. I hear the trees are trees turning into burfi. That would be nice. They're wish-fulfilling trees of Vrindavan, so you feel hungry one day on the Govardhan Parikrama, and you look at one tree and say, hey, old Vriksha, you can become some burfi now? Or at least a few of your leaves can become burfi and fall off in my mouth? Or maybe you're feeling like you want to get a little excited, so then you tell the tree, can you turn into wine? Of course, in a camphor, you feel a little hot, so you want to feel some nice camphor on your forehead. So obviously, for the service, look at it this way. For the service of Krishna, a conscious entity can do practically anything. We are in a human form, but we do so many things because of the presence of consciousness. The only thing that the only limiting factor in our expression of activities is not our consciousness, but our body. Our will and our consciousness is to fly in the sky. I want to fly. That is our will. We are conscious and we have will, but our body is limited. We can't fly in the sky. And if we really cultivate that desire a lot, and really a lot, then we'll become a bird in the next life. So our consciousness will give us a suitable body. In the spiritual world, the consciousness, the body does not live. As I said the same point the other day, and this is proving it here. This is an example. That there's no angani asya sakalendriya vrittimati. The consciousness is not limited by the body. We are human beings. We can do so many things, can't we? With this body, we can We want to fly in the sky, so we make an airplane. And we want to become a fish, so we make a submarine. And we want to do so many things. So we have so much power with this consciousness. And the human form gives the greatest expression to consciousness, the greatest mobility and the greatest freedom and power. Consciousness can be expressed in its fullest form in the human form. Of course, demigods even more. And some humans, they develop their powers even more. So they defy nature. The involuntary system of the body, the heartbeat and the lung, the yogis, they stop their heartbeat and stay alive. And they've been tested. They stop the movement of their lungs. There's no air in their body. You can't find any air coming in out of their nose. You can close their nose and they can stay alive for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Maintain the prana inside their body. So this is defy science. So their consciousness becomes so developed. They call it involuntary motor system or whatever. Voluntary, involuntary. They have these terms, I think so. That which you have no control over, involuntary. Well, you don't, but I do. The yogis do. The yogis have this power. So that means their consciousness has been developed through yoga cities and practices and austerities to gain more mastery, more mobility, and more expression and more power. So they're doing something with the human body which turtles do. Turtles, when a dry season, they go under the mud. They dig under the mud. They dig under because they see all the water in this lake is evaporating, and we need moisture. So they dig 3 or 4 feet, 5 feet, they go inside the ground. And there's no air in there. But they have the ability, they bring all their senses inside their body, they close all their shell, box turtle, or most turtles, and they pull their head inside. Then they're completely sealed, they're not taking anything, and they just hibernate, they live there during that summer season. Then the rain comes and the lake comes and they come out and there's turtles. You don't know where the turtles came from. It's a totally dry place. And so the folk stories are the turtles fall from the rain and stuff like that. So last night it was raining turtles. In America it rains cats and dogs. But in the country it rains turtles. So this is an amazing thing. So different animals have different abilities. You've heard of a bear? You've heard of hibernation? So humans have studied this. They say, well, how is this possible? And they see the heart slows down. So the heart slows down so much, the bear's heart usually beats so many times. Now it beats once every 3 days or something. Boom. And then they're still, and they measure the metabolism comes down. They're like in samadhi. So there's certain species of animals, the turtles and bear, they have these abilities, the consciousness, the conscious jiva, to suspend their life in all kinds of different arrangements and maintain their life, which is mystifying to the human being. So on that level, the trees, they're devotees, Jivera Swarupaya Krishna Nitya Das. Every jiva is a Krishna Das. So on the level of Krishna's Leela and all these trees, etc., they're all in fully, their bodies are full consciousness. Oh, Krishna wants trees? Okay, where are the trees? Oh, but Krishna's coming to me and says, oh, he feels hot. And then Radharani wants to mix some camphor and some sandalwood. I'm a sandalwood tree, so they grind a branch and make some sandalwood paste. But now Radharani wants some camphor. Okay, so I become a camphor. Mix some camphor in my sandalwood. And put it on Krishna's forehead to cool relieve his fever, whatever. So we can understand something about these extraordinary descriptions when we know the nature of the it's called the Dham Tattva. To understand the Dham, the transcendental nature and significance of the Dham. Text 78. Shri Radha Krishna Naramokt Yanu Sharana Para Vivrata KP Saka Pulagna Sunabara Bahu Shata Parita Umanda Pakara Ramya Hastagrayam Prasuna Dhyata Para Shikarastam Chasandaranti Shakindra Yatra Tanya Dishatu Mam Shivam Shivam Brindata Vinam. By the order of Radha and Krishna, Some of the trees bend down and touch the ground with their branches. And they're bending down because of the heavy weight of the flowers on their branches. Those innumerable trees appear like umbrellas over the heads of Radha Shyam. The flowers and buds of some of the trees can be reached when Radharani simply extends her beautiful lotus hand. While some of the flowers are unreachable, being situated high in the branches, may that Sri Vrindavan, which is decorated with such most fortunate trees, bestow auspiciousness on me. This is very nice. So the flowers, some of them are bending very low and practically touching the ground, and easily Radharani can pick flowers for Shyam, or Madhava can pick flowers for Srimati. But some of the flowers are beyond reach, and of course there's one very famous pastime about that at Kusum Sarovara. That's very nice to hear. And Radharani was there just before the beginning of Madhyan Leela, and she had met there with some sakis, and they dispersed for picking flowers, and they're wandering around the forest in Kusum Sarovara picking different flowers. So Radharani had her eye on one kadamba tree. And it was monsoon season. Kadamba flowers are in full bloom and very fragrant and attractive and rather intoxicating fragrance, the kadamba. And of course, kadamba is Krishna's favorite tree because it reminds him of Radharani. When Krishna's with Radharani and smells her transcendental form of Gandharvika's body, then he becomes mesmerized. He becomes enchanted. All of his senses become nose. His eyes becomes nose, his nose. And then when he perceives and inhales the sweet aroma of Radharani's transcendental body, Gandharvika's Ganda, her fragrance, and becomes totally intoxicated. And the tree that most closely resembles the fragrance of Radharani's body in Vrindavan is none other than the kadamba tree. So therefore, there's so many other fragrances. Radharani's body smells like kasturi and camphor and musk and blue lotus and so many things. But the tree that most closely resembles Radharani's fragrance is the kadamba flower. One of Krishna's names is Kadamba Kanana. Kadamba Kanana. He who likes to play in the forest of kadamba trees. And everywhere we see Krishna playing with the kadamba trees, playing in the trees. Keli kadamba. Keli means play. Keli kadamba. You've heard of Tera kadamba? You've heard of Kadamba Kandi? There's a place out towards Kamivan called Kadamba Kandi. And you've heard of the Keli Kadamba tree in Chiragat, where Krishna stole the clothes of the gopis. And you've heard of the Keli Kadamba tree at Kaliyadaha, where Krishna jumped from the tree. So you see, Kadamba trees are very, very popular with Krishna. Now, Radharani, knowing that Krishna loves so much to wear these Kadamba garlands, she saw one flower that was beyond her reach. So she was reaching, stretching her right hand and extending her fingers and her index finger and her middle finger and just reaching on her tippy toes and, oh, Krishna, I want to get that flower. And she was reaching, oh, Krishna, and she was praying to God, oh, God, please help me. Oh, God, oh, Suryadev, because he worships Surya. Oh, Suryadev, please bless me. I want to get this flower for Shyam. Now, meanwhile, Krishna had come from Nandagram to meet Radharani at Radhakund. And he heard from Dhanishtha and Vrinda that Radharani was at Kusum Sarovara picking flowers. Pushpa Chorya Leela. Picking flowers or maybe stealing flowers? Pushpa Chorya means stealing, Chorya. So Krishna went there secretly, quietly, alone. And he heard someone saying, Suryadev, Suryadev. Because as I mentioned earlier, the gopis dispersed and they were all scattered throughout the forest. Lalita was one place, and Vishakha, all nearby, but now Radharani's by herself. And she's reaching up, oh my God. She's on her tippy toes, I got that flower. Then Krishna secretly, hidden away, he ran up, he went behind the tree and climbed up the tree. A kadamba tree. The Radharani had her eye on that flower. And very surreptitiously, like a cat, got down, he crawled across the branches. Then he stood on that branch at the very end, and he held his hand, and he leaned down his foot on the branch and pushed that branch down that had that special kadamba flower that Radharani wanted. And as soon as it came within Radharani's reach, he said, oh, I got it. Oh, God, mercy, God's mercy. And then she held very tightly. And when she held tightly, Krishna picked his foot off the branch. Boing! The branch sprung back up. And Radharani was so startled and frightened that she just kept holding. Oh, what's happened? And she was so attached to that lotus, because when you get something in your hand, you become very attached. And it was for Krishna's seva. So then she's, oh, I can't let this go. And then all of a sudden she's holding onto the branch and she's up and she's like 6 feet off the ground. Saki, help, help, bachao. And she's yelling like that. And then the Sakis hear Radharani's yelling, and then they run over there. Oh, Saki, oh, Sundari, oh, you know, what happened, Kishori, what happened? Oh, I don't know, I was picking this flower and suddenly I flew up in the air. And then they said, oh, you know, be careful. You know, and they're all gathering around her, looking up at her, and she's saying, "We're doing something." And they say, "I don't know what to do. You know, you're so high." And then Krishna crawls down the tree and he comes back. And he walks in, and all gopis, oh, and all gopis are distressed and they're crying, oh, what to do, oh, Saki, oh, Swamini, oh, Radha. Krishna walks in very cool and calm and innocently. What's happening? What's going on here? What's the commotion? And he's looking at the Sakis, pretending he doesn't know Radharani. He's hanging up in the tree. He's just looking at the Sakis' eye, like, doesn't even know. And he looks at Lalita, what's wrong? And then Lalita says, look, oh, Radharani, oh, Priyaji, what are you doing there? And she says, do something. So then Krishna says, okay, just let go. And Krishna stuck his arms up, also reaching for a flower. So Krishna reaches two hands and arms up. He said, Radharani, just let go. And then she let go and she fell down. And Krishna grabbed her with both arms and put his arms around her and tightly embraced her. And all the Sakis said, Jai, Jai, Sri Radhe Shyam. So some of the flowers are situated in unreachable parts of the branches. So now let's hear the next text, another translation of this text, 78. May Vrindavan, we're following Radha Krishna's joking orders. The fortunate regal trees bow down to offer respects, resting their branches on the ground. Then become charming flower-filled many-branched pavilions. And then from where the land can grasp up to the very tops, bloom with many flowers, show auspiciousness to me. Basically, sometimes, on the order of Radha and Krishna, they go to an area where there's a clump of trees or a group of trees together, and they want to enact some vilas there. Radha and Krishna want to enact some vilas in that area. So then they tell the trees, listen, all you trees bend over. You, from the north you bend over, from the south you bend over, east, north, northeast. All your trees bend over towards the center, because you're all scattered like this. You all bend over towards the center. Bend towards each other, towards the center, and bend down. Make a natural canopy. So when all your covering of leaves comes together, make a beautiful umbrella, and this whole area will become covered and shaded and very private, like a nikunja. So sometimes they order the trees like that, and the trees do accordingly. Because the trees are devotees. Jivara Surupaya Krishna Tidas. So whatever the Lord he asks his devotees to do, then of course they do. So the Guru asks his disciples to do different services, so they do. Work in the garden, or do puja, or this or that, sell books, or cook, many translate, so many sevas they do. So then the devotees, they bend down, they bend down and they do the service. They offer obeisances. They accept, they take the bend down, they humbly they accept the order on their head of Guru, and then they carry out that service with great happiness and enthusiasm. This is the meaning of being the pure devotee's servant or the servant of God. So there in that realm, everyone is just waiting for some command or some order. There's constant service going on in varieties of ways, and there's always some new service coming and some new order or some new request given for service, and the devotees are ever ready to execute that order with great willingness and happiness. This is another example here in this verse. You can read text 79 in this series of verses glorifying the trees. In other words, we're hearing so far that the trees are changing their forms to serve Radha and Krishna. They're becoming very humble and providing naturally their flowers and buds. And they're providing natural cover canopies with their spread of leaves and beautiful pavilions with their cooperation and joining together the branches. And now we hear further glories in text 79. Kechind madhyan nikad apyati vihala ruchas chanda martanda kotir braja devya prabha mandalata uru rucha kepi kalpangi kote ke chit rakendo kot yujvala shishirala sach chandrika charo ruchi punja gunjami rama dyuti vitata maha manjula kepyat yatra. Some of Vrindavan's trees are more effulgent than the scorching rays of the noonday sun. And some of the trees of Vrindavan are more effulgent than millions of Kalpagni fires. Kalpa means at the end of the Kalpa, which burns at the time of Pralaya. Some of the trees are brilliantly shining like the cooling rays of millions of moons. And some of them look most enchanting because they spread the charming rays emanating from their flowers. So the trees are offering lots of wonderful types of rays. Hot rays, cooling rays, and colorful rays. Rays of rainbow colors from all their rainbow myriad variety of flowers. The radiant colors, the trees that are blooming with red flowers emanate a beautiful reddish radiance. And the trees that are blooming with yellow flowers emit a wonderful yellow radiance. And some trees emit the effulgence and radiance, which is very cooling and soothing. And these trees are functioning in the summertime. And some trees emit rays which are very heating and soothing and comforting. And these trees are acting like this in the wintertime. When Radha and Krishna want to be warm, and when they're dancing in the rasa dance at night, then there's natural heating system coming from the trees. NHS, natural heating system. So the trees, sometimes they have air-conditioned gyms. You go in the gym and it's air-conditioned because you're making a lot of hot air. So they have air conditioning. And sometimes in cold climates, they have heated gyms because it's 20 below zero outside in Moscow. But they also have gyms there. They're heated. So because these are sports places, they have heated sports places because they're doing sports there. So when Radha and Krishna are having their love sports, they sometimes need to have a warm place and sometimes a cool place. So when they want a warm place, sometimes they want to be in the forest. So when the trees emanate a radiant warmth, just like nice, soothing rays of the summer sun, very warm and satisfying. And sometimes in this hot summertime, when they're having rasa vilas or rasa dance, then it would be nice to have an air-conditioned rasa mandala. An air conditioned, like, would you like to go to a discotheque that had no air conditioning? If a discotheque, everyone's dancing and jumping here and there, no? So if it has air conditioning, it's something nice. You can dance so much and don't feel all fatigued and sweated up and stuff. So therefore, the trees, and then of course, sometimes they want to have a very cooling setting they don't want to engage in rasa dance in an air-conditioned rasa mandala or in a heated rasa mandala. Thus, for example, they have some skating rinks in America. It's an indoor place, and there's a big, like, swimming pool, really big size, and it's filled with ice. And you rent ice skates and put them on, or you have your own, and you skate around. And then, but the place is heated. So the actual stadium, whatever you call it, it's all covered, completely indoors, but the ice rink is ice. When you take off your ice skates, you can sit there and watch people's, you can sit there and watch your friends ice skate. You know, your friends are sometimes reformists. You don't have to have 50 million blankets and stuff like that. Just sit there like this, you know, come in and nice and you're relaxed and you're watching people ice skate. So they have all these things I've seen. I've taken part. Done all these things. That's the thing. In America or these Western countries, you do a million types of things to try to enjoy and your body, your friends, your own body, other bodies, everybody. And you finally, sooner or later, you come to the point, this is all worthless, empty. You do 50 million things and still you're unsatisfied. And someone says, here, take these beads, chant Hare Krishna. And you take these beads and you chant Hare Krishna and you find full satisfaction 24/7. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So the idea is that the forest are serving Radha and Krishna by, as you know, in the underneath a in a forest in the summertime, it's cool. If you go away from the, get away from the sun, the leaves of the trees catch all the sun rays. It's told that where we're living now, 60, 80 years ago, was a Kadamba forest. From here, 3 kilometers, only 60 years ago. And the forest was so thick with trees and that the sun would never come inside. You couldn't see the daylight inside the forest. And the temperature inside the forest, even on the hottest day in the summer, never got above 22. I'm telling about the Kadamba forest. Where I'm staying used to be Kadamba forest from here for 3-4 kilometers, Vasantigram, 50 years ago. And even the hottest day of the summer was never hotter than 22 degrees inside the forest. It would be like 35, or it wasn't that hot those years ago. It's become global warming now. We have 40 degrees summers and 38 and 42. But then it was 35, 37 like this. But inside the forest it was 22. Some of the older people in the village told me this. So of course, let's not forget the caves of Govardhan. Because in the winter time when it's very cold, and the Radharani and Krishna don't want to have air conditioned Rasastali, they don't want to have air-conditioned Rasastali. They don't want to have a heated Rasastali. They want to have Kunjalila, or they want to have confidential pastimes. Then they go into the caves of Vrindavan. I mean, to the caves of Govardhan. And there, the caves in the summer are very, very cooling. This is a speciality of caves. You go there in the summer, it feels so cool. Inside the caves of Govardhan, there's beautiful natural lakes and natural rivers falling. Even there's waterfalls inside the caves of Govardhan. And then, that's in the summertime. The wintertime they go there, caves are naturally warm. It's like you go down in my underground, it's very warm. It's 18 degrees outside, it'll be 23 downstairs. Earth is naturally warm down. It's like the water coming from the well is very warm. So this is Vrindavan, the trees are providing cooling rays like millions of moons, air-conditioned Rasastali for the summertime. Imagine, the trees are like air conditioners. You go to some pandals, you go to some wedding parties and they have fans all around them. You go to these outdoor wedding pandals and there's fans everywhere, there's air conditioning, whatever, they make arrangements to keep the people fanned and cooled or whatever. So imagine the trees surrounding the Rasastali, it's a mandala, it's round. All there's trees around, each tree is a natural air conditioner. So the trees are naturally giving cool air. Imagine there's thousands of trees, there's 1,000 trees surrounding the Rasa Mandala and they're all blowing cold air, 1,000 air conditioners. How refreshing it must be. Then the full moon is rising overhead with cool, you have nice cool moon rays coming over. Beautiful, huh? Everything's possible. Gattana Akadana Bhatiyasi Shakti. Krishna can make the impossible possible and the possible impossible. So I hope he makes it possible that we can speak again. has beautiful talks about Vrindavan and Gauranga's Leelas and Neelachala. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.